Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Although he's no gamer, he's just a complainer. Phil plays Elden Ring. Now he's a tarnish, there's sure to be carnage as Phil plays Elden Ring. As Filthy plays Elden Ring.
Hello, weary traveler, and welcome back to the last episode of Filthy's Elden Ring Stings. It is I, Deadbeat Punk, or Christopher Love, and the man that decided to kill the show. The one, the only, the Filthy.
Hello, hello, hello. You can't harmonise with yourself. Don't even try, Phil. Come on, Jesus.
Could be done.
Oh, yeah.
We do edit.
We could get a modulizer on that, if that's such a thing. I'm gonna assume it is.
Filthy, before we go any further about hitting the high notes with yourself and how that's wrong, we'd better warn the audience.
Oh, we better. Oh, they need warning.
If you have just landed here and don't really know what's going on, well, sunshine, you better get back to the first episode, Elderflower Pilot.
Yeah, literally you've went backwards. You've done... How? You've really screwed up. Just saying.
Yes. Elbow in the toilet bowl and you've soiled yourself.
Badly.
Clean yourself up and go back to the start. As with all episodes, this should have foul language.
Bloody will. My goodness. There'll be so many rude words that your mother will blush, probably. Unless she's a bit coarse herself, in which case she'll probably enjoy it.
Overbearing profanity and spoilers.
I think I should probably just let you do those from now on. Yeah.
But you were doing so well.
I know.
Mocking your listeners' mothers. That's always a ticket for winning.
It's a strong opening, I think. It's a bold assertion to begin the show. That's how I like to roll. Yep.
So yes, swearing, spoilers of FromSoft's Elden Ring. Fuck. And if you can deal with that, then honey, we can dance.
Let the tango commence. I'm out of practice. I don't know how this goes, honestly. That's the best.
Yes, it has been quite a while, Phil.
Yeah, it's been...
Actually, it's been quite rude how badly you've cut me out of your life. Completely. It's almost as if you were only here for the podcast.
Look, you do what needs to be done in this life, you know? And it was nice when it lasted. I just think we might need to see other podcasters. Yeah,
This is no summer romance. This is a lifelong commitment. There is no getting away.
Yeah, you know when they say that you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family? That's kind of bullshit. I get no say in this.
Yeah,
it's
they
ridiculous.
Never met me.
No.
So how have you been... It's nearly been a month since we last did this.
Do you know, it's one of those things, isn't it? Because if you'd asked me, I said it was only 1 week that we missed. You know, you always look back and you think, that wasn't that long ago. Oh, that wasn't. Just postpone that one more time or whatever. And before you know it, yeah, you're right, I suppose. You know, chronologically speaking, it's been a month.
I suppose you are correct with time backing you up.
If you're going to be using facts and things, there's not much I can do about it, is there? I think it's taken a month to digest. And drink away as much of
mentally
this.
Percolate.
Yeah, for Elden Ring's sake.
I do hate to start the show on a sour note, apart from you socially ignoring me and making me feel awful. Just, I get lonely.
I can imagine. It's not easy. Heavy is the head that wears the crown, and your head is also heavy or lonely. Lonely. Don't know where I was going with that one.
You're lonely and heavy, you prick. So, yes, an apology for some of our listeners is due, because as I sent a little clip to you, Harp have been advertising on the show.
That's disappointing. And I'm sorry that people have had to go through that.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's a regional thing or based on the player you use. Because not everybody got it.
I don't know, because...
Yeah, but people thought we were taking Harp money, Philip.
That's just not acceptable to me.
We're proud to call our own.
Well, that's it. It's the big slogan for Harp in Northern Ireland is, it's our thing. And you're thinking, yeah, because nobody else would fucking take it.
The Danes hate to see it leave. They fucking hate to see Harp arrive.
Is this the worst lager in the world? Probably. I can't think of any more alcohol-related taglines to mock. Yeah.
The Titanic was bringing the first shipment of Harp to New York. God prevailed.
Yeah, it was all downhill from there, and I think they should have taken that as a warning, but unfortunately not. They persist with it, even with the ice-cold one. I've always been amazed about that, because other beers do that as well. They do an ice-cold version.
Yeah, make it too cold to have a taste. It's like, yeah. Fucking lad. Down that before it gets room temperature or you're fucked.
It's just, yeah. That was another one, wasn't it? That used to be an old slogan. You wouldn't want a warm beer. It was an Australian one, wasn't it? You wouldn't want a warm beer, would you? That's an attempt at an Australian accent. That just happened.
The last episode. Don't do accents.
I know. I've got this far without the accent.
He keeps cutting them out.
Oh, there'd be the outtakes of all the tremendous accents I did.
I just have one long supercut of all your offensive racist behaviour.
Yep, I did an entire episode once in the impression of Nelson Mandela. And why you never ran it, I don't know.
But that's why we don't run a video podcast. Because a video podcast is ridiculous. A podcast is audio only.
I do agree on that.
Video podcast is just a video.
Well, I mean, the point of them is you can listen to them while you're doing other things. Hoovering the car, walking the dog.
Making sweet love.
Well, if it's the right podcast, indeed.
And all WTF, DYW. Because you're not lasting any more than half an hour.
That was a brilliant plug. That was good.
And the other reason we couldn't air it was because when we started the call, Filthy had also took it upon himself to dress up for the voice, which just does not fly in the current climate.
I'm going to have to refute that, please.
I have screenshots.
Point of order.
Last episode, bad behaviour.
Yeah. That's
so, yes, I don't know how we went to apologising for Harp to Nelson Mandela.
It's always a journey, isn't it? Life's a journey, not a destination. But for some reason, the destination was a world leader. Brilliant. Why not?
East, bound and down.
Oh, Lord.
So, I wasn't really sure what way to play this. Do you want to go through feedback and then, like, final thoughts around the whole game at the end? Or do you want to go through them now?
I guess. Do you know what? The feedback has been my favourite bit of all the episodes because...
Look at him backpedaling the prick.
Yeah. Forget what I said all those times. I slagged off my
stats.
All my beloved listeners who have always steered me right with their constant recommendations that I, you know, wear armor and use shields and things of that nature. I took it all to heart every time. So I don't know if I should keep that until the end as another little treat. or if we should plow through it and just get it all over with and just end it all.
Well, why don't we keep it traditional? Shall we play an audio note?
Why not?
You may hang up or press 1 for more options.
We have no audio notes this week because Filthy stopped playing the fucking game.
Oh yeah, that's why not, yeah.
We'll get on to feedback. Feedback, if you had any, could have been left at Filthy Ring on Twitter or emailed to filthyring@gmail.com. But it's the last episode. You blew it. You don't have any more chances. You missed out. You sat in your hands, just like always.
Just ruined it. They were just... Their pithy comments all worked out. The Twitterati. Did they come at me? Did the fuck. So
cowards. It's like the Scottish and independence.
See, that's, I always thought we shouldn't bring in the politics, but I always managed anyway. So yeah, that's fair.
Yes, Philip, the Tories are c***s.
May contain some strong language. That's a whole other podcast.
So the first bit of feedback I bumped up to the top of the list because it was from the original big dog Fluffit Prince, who's been with us since the very beginning. Filthy, like, the very beginning.
It's like a little walk path down memory lane, this. delightful.
And he writes, the final episode will be emotional. Songs will be sung about Filthy's adventures in the lands between. Utterly spectacular. Amazon are picking it up for a show, I hear. Now we've got some questions. Yeah, do you want me to point at you when I want you to talk, or...
Well, I've been so warned. I've finally, you know, however, episode 14, final episode, I finally got the hang of this, not interrupting your thing, even though I love interrupting you, and now it's going to work against me. yes, it is true. We're in talks with Amazon. I think it's only suitable, really. James Corden is going to play me because apparently I'm not hated enough. So
who's playing me?
That's a good question, actually.
Oh, slippery slope here.
Yeah. Maybe Chris Rock. He's usually quite good in these things. Good
names work. Are similar too, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Anytime somebody says Chris, you know, he'll turn around and go, it's Christopher.
Yeah.
You bollocks.
Was he talking about me? I don't know.
Possibly.
Yeah. So, yeah, that could be.
Well, Fluffit Prince's first question is, what was your favourite part of the game?
Oh, now there's a question.
It's a good one.
Because, truthfully, there are no favourite parts of Elden Ring. I don't think anybody has a favourite part. couple of things come to mind, I suppose you could talk
Katanas.
About. Katanas. Yeah, katanas will definitely be up there.
I could see it in your eyes.
The sense of satisfaction of unlocking a new katana, maxing it out, is actually really nice. There is, whenever you've got your weapon up and tuned up nicely to its maximum potential, and it's cutting down people. So yeah, I guess the favourite part of the game is certainly after about hour 140, whenever you're finally a little bit strong enough to take on more than a quarter of the people that you meet. That was a favourite part. Yes, maxing out my weapons was a highlight for me, and just feeling that level of accomplishment. Similarly, there is all those little wins that make it nice along the way, beating people, and I'm sure they'll come up, one or two in particular. and beating certain people is definitely your favourite part of the game when you put in the hard graft and it actually pays off. That's another favourite part, I guess. Yeah, that's my answer to that for now. It may change as the episode goes on. Who knows?
Yes, if you think of something, don't stop me from reading things out.
Yeah.
Fluffit Prince continues, oh, I've spoken to my namesake, James Elden Ring, and he's apologised for the shite endings.
Good, yeah. I've only done one ending so far, and it was bizarre. Just odd. This is what I've spent so much time doing, trying to make a little witch who changes her name frequently and make her the Elden... I don't even know what she became. Princess, the Elden Wonder, the Elden Queen. I don't know, but it didn't, you know, really...
Queen of the Elden Wonder.
Potentially. I think that's what has happened there in my ending. So, I'm not sure I accept that apology, but I appreciate that it's been offered.
By the way, I like the outro music for the pod. Kind of like an early Strokes demo.
Ah, that's your doing that.
Yeah, I found that one. Cool. It's Sophomore Makeout by Silent Partner. It's a copyright free track. Yeah.
Yeah,
there are some people that do some excellent work putting music tracks up for background noise or intros, outros, and I've just realized I have never once credited them in our show notes.
Well, there we go. Shout out to them.
Yes, anybody starting their own podcast, it's a nice outro track. Fuck off. It's ours.
Ours. Original composition by me, I've decided to
We decided to copyright it.
Yeah. It's a good idea, actually.
Really, really love the podcast, lads. Thanks for the series. Your sizzling chemistry charmed me from the start and right the way to the end. When the inaugural Irish Elden Ring Podcast Awards come around, I'll make sure to give you a nomination.
Oh, thank you. It's been emotional. We've had quite the journey together, you and I.
I still can't believe you rinsed through this game in like 13 episodes.
And it's just the way it all worked out, isn't it? It's quite good in that I wouldn't be able to do that now, the way just things have turned out.
No, you're actually having to work at home now?
Ridiculous. I don't know. I don't think it's fair that I have to work to earn a living. I think people should just pay.
So on average, 17.69 hours per episode of playtime.
Is that how that would work? I suppose it probably is, isn't it?
On average.
That's how much I was playing this game a week. That's interesting. I should probably call my family at some point and say hello. Yeah.
That prick Christopher told us you were dead. Now, Filthy, tell me, what was our millennia's significance to the story?
Oh, so he's throwing in, Fluffett's throwing in some quiz questions, is he?
That was a nice little jab at the end. He had you buttered up.
Her significance to my to my mind, it's that she lives in a tree. That tree is a wave.
Please don't turn this, what seems to be quite legendary character, into a limerick.
There once was a bitch who lived in a tree, who often went around killing me. I gave her a stabber with my sword of lava, and she's dead now, thankfully. That was off the top of my head. I'm really happy with that. That's what's happening.
Yes. Listeners, if you could see how happy his wee face is, chuffed to the bone.
Can't believe that worked out, man. That was, yeah. But yeah, she lives in a tree. She rots. She's a thing of rot for some reason.
Bit of a rotter, is she?
Bit of a rotter. That's as much as I know. she's got no legs for some reason, or certainly one's not right about her.
No legs.
She wears a prosthetic leg for some reason. I don't know why. It never came up.
Never felt right to ask.
No, she was too busy attacking. So yeah, she wears a prosthetic leg. Oh, she does have a sister. One of the other the characters that you talked to is her sister. So that's nice. I think Millicent. I want to say Millicent, just because it's a funny name. I think Millicent is her sister, so that's a thing. And she has something to do with rot. That's as much as I can tell you about Millennia. She lives in a tree. When she died, she turned into a nice big flower that you can still go and visit at her grave. So that was nice too.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
What type of flower?
A rot flower. The flower of the blue. The
on
bloom.
Brand.
Yeah, the bloom of the rotting item. Yeah.
And with that, loads of love, Fluffett Prince.
Thank you, Fluffett.
Yes.
Cheers for all the support.
Thanks for sticking with us. You are a champion, and I love you. After that, we have our favourite German philosopher back, taking time out of their incredibly busy schedule to write in once again.
Side note to that, because it was in the recent episode of Doctor Who, speaking of Russians, I've had Ra Ra Rasputin stuck in my head now for 3 weeks, and I've come to the conclusion it's the catchiest song ever written by Boney M. So only, obviously, there's bound to be quite a bit of copyright there. We could have played it, but that's not going to happen.
Has Arthur finished his cheese?
Arthur's finished his cheese that was meant to distract him, and now he's pawing at the door. So I'm going to go open it. That'll be a minute.
Here I go again on my own. Like a drifter, I was born to walk alone.
Okay, I don't know what I missed. Magic, behind the scenes magic there. Yes, we sometimes distract the dog with cheese, and when he's done with that, I have to open the back door. So
when we do write the book of podcaster life hacks.
Yep.
Cheese!
Distract your dog with cheese. That seems fair. Cool, so Rasputin is back. Well, not Rasputin, sorry.
Our
actual contributor.
I did ask Lady Punk for some help with the introduction and outro to the email.
Oh yeah, there's some actual Russian there.
Sadras Voistcha.
Ah.
And hello, Comrade Filthy and Comrade Dennis, ?
I like that.
Just a quick note to say thank you for all the hard work you've put into this show and the joy you have brought to us. Not sure if you're going to try and spin it out into more of the Souls games or flip the table and have Filthy guide the other one through the game from memory alone. Either way, I'd like to award you 5 Fabergé eggs out of 5 and wish you all the best in your future endeavours. And this is the fun part. No post ana vas bolshe nye travushit.
Grazie.
Travushit.
There's just...
Your friend, Carl Chopper Marx.
You know, there's one thing though, because I was getting a little bit curious about this with what with being, contacted by a socialist revolutionary, but he was German.
He was so German, yeah.
What's with the Russian?
I have no idea, but he's done it since the start of writing in.
Das ist nicht Deutsche.
Did Karl Marx vacation in Russia?
Do you know he might? Well, he was Prussian. I don't know my
He was blue.
He was a Smurf. It sounds like an interesting bloke, and I'm just pleased that he enjoys the Elden Ring series as much as we do.
Joe, from Hallmark of Greatness, he's not an interesting guy.
Ah, fair enough. Well, he's given me a bit of love there, so I'm gonna be thankful all the same.
Easy won over.
I know. I'll take what I can get. But interesting idea, me guiding you through it. It would be a bit like asking a drunk man as he's stumbling out of the chippy for directions to a church or something, to have me guide you through it.
But my memory is so good, Filthy. I would be able to recall all your adventures and know exactly what's happening at every corner.
From my specific, my relentless instructions.
Descriptive prowess.
I think it was my attention to detail is what really saw me through this game, actually, is how I got to where I was going.
I don't think this would have worked as an audio format without your ability to paint pictures with words.
Yes, thank you. I did try. I didn't try very hard. That much was obvious, but I did try.
So yeah, this gets asked a lot. When do you think you could stomach another Souls game?
It's a curious thought. Maybe we can discuss what I might do next. It's the sort of thing, now that I'm, you know, used to them, it might be an idea. And do I just stay in that mode now, or do I do even something as simple for me about what next game I play and whether we can't log or not is, for instance. Yeah. But the little thing like, am I still happy to stick with swords? Do I want to go guns? For me, that's always the big question when you sit down to play a new game. Do I want to play swords and stuff and spells, or do I want to play guns? So who knows?
Your form of murder, which one's tickling you at the moment?
Yeah, that's always the starting point for what game you're going to play next. I might well stick with the Souls and their minimum instructions and
it
richly developed characters.
It would be interesting because Elden Ring was quite the departure. It's the first kind of open world one they've done.
Oh really? See, yeah. I didn't even know that. So,
so it would be interesting to see how you got on, especially going in reverse.
So, what, the games are going to get easier instead of harder? Is that
no?
Maybe? No, I didn't think so.
Elden Ring is the easiest one, diluted for the casuals like you.
Oh, I thought I was going hardcore. Oh man.
Yeah, you've been christened hardcore, so just accept it.
I'm going to go buy Sekiro now or something. Who knows?
Oh, yeah. Forgot this one was next. Mm. Whew. Me. Our friend Amos missed out. We recorded early and he just missed cutoff time.
Ah.
Thankfully, because I think he may have shown up your last episode a little bit.
My triumphant finale might have been tarnished, if you'll pardon the pun.
You don't even know what a tarnished is.
I don't, actually. That's true. Something to do with brass, isn't it?
So, irony.
Tarnish? Varnish? I don't know.
Hello, Filthy. I must begin this email by saying that I too have joined the Blasphemous Blade Collective. The BBC. After trading in Rikard's soul for it, I had enough smithing stones on my person to get it to +9. Seeing as it's scaled with the same attributes as the winged scythe, it was a natural fit. I would still flit between the two weapons depending on the situation. I would revert back to it to murder the annoying fire giant.
Oh yeah.
As the speed of attacks were more useful than the more powerful attacks at that time. This new weapon, along with a maximum upgraded mimic tier, really saw me powering through the enemies. Lich Dragon Fortisax?
Sure.
Mog? Malaketh? or the Big Bag of Shit, as you so aptly named him, all defeated in quick succession.
Well, that's nice. You beat all the hard villains in quick succession. I think he needs to, Amos's thing is, he needs to stop and smell the roses. You know, if you're gonna go killing all the big bad guys,
go outside and touch some grass, you virgin.
Yeah, I mean, I just think, you know, stop and talk to some NPCs or I'm glad that,
murder them
even in my case. But I am glad I enjoyed the Blasphemous Blade as a weapon, so that's good. I'm pleased.
I heard a lot of people talking about that one.
Yeah, it's got a cracking special attack, so it was good for that. If you're going to use the bigger, slower weapons, that's a good one to have. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's your style. Anyway, go on.
The next big boss on my to-do list was the dreaded Millennia.
I despised
the tree area after using the secret medallion I looted from Niall's corpse, but when you get closer to the structures built around the tree, I thought this portion was incredibly designed.
Yeah, it was very pretty. I'm not going to lie. It was.
Gorgeous. I know you weren't keeping up with your lore, but the story of Mikaela?
Yes, I think that's something to do with... Melania is known as the Blade of Mikaela. I knew that. Definitely.
Very good.
I think I pointed that out there at the start of the episode. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As he... You said Millicent.
No, Milan. Oh, so I did. Okay, I don't know who Mikaela is. Sorry.
As he grew the Hallig tree in order to treat his sister's scarlet rot. When this fails and the Golden Order couldn't cure his sister, this is when he created the needle that could deflect curses from gods. This would ring a bell if you took part in the Millicent questline.
I did a bit of it. As I say, I knew who she was. She was where she should be. Yep.
After defeating Loretta and making my way down through the rots and meeting another horrible ulcerated tree spirit in a very confined space, I would eventually make my way down to Millennia and was struck at her physical resemblance to Millicent.
Yeah, very, very similar. I also noticed that, definitely. I'm sure I pointed it out. Sure I did. Yep, as you were.
So, I had my mimic tier and a fully upgraded Blasphemous Blade in my possession. An earlier jaunt through the consecrated snowfield would provide me with a somber ancient dragon smithing stone.
Somber ancient dragon smithing stone?
That's catchy.
Yep.
Sads. I had swapped out my armour at this point. I had been rocking a set of mausoleum night gear up to this point.
Mm-hmm.
But do you know what that is, fella? Are you just going, for the crack of it?
Well, I mean, I know what a mausoleum is, and I know that there are knights throughout the game, so I assume there must be mausoleum knights. Probably. I'm sure I killed one at some point, I'd like to think. Never thought to look at what they were wearing.
But having got on the wrong side of Blaith, after winning the affections of a certain Lunar princess, I was now decked out in his furry cape.
Yes, he's the Wolfman that I've spoken of before.
Oh, yes.
Yes, one of them.
I was as prepared as I could be going into this fight and was ready to get locked in for a while, so waited until I knew I had a few free hours to spare.
Lovely. As you do.
I beat her on my third attempt.
Oh, just stop. Fuck off. No, you didn't.
Didn't let up during the first phase between my mimic tier and I, grabbing her attention in turns and letting the other attack.
Bullshit. Nope. Not having it.
It was over in pretty short order. I was pretty let down, expecting a boss battle of the ages after all the build-up. Anyway.
No, bullshit.
Are you going to do that throughout the whole paragraph?
I am now, yep. Hit you, yep.
Anyway, Millicent's quest ended up finishing in this area also. A fabulous display of FromSoft storytelling, giving you enough aspects of their story and leaving you with the opportunity to piece it all together and draw your own conclusions.
I see. Right then. Actually, on that note, and I mean, I'm trying to pocket my rage for a little moment before I do anything else. But yeah, Millicent ended up for me. This was the thing I had throughout the game where it didn't work for me. I don't know what I was doing wrong, but apparently quests of all these endings and storylines, and fucked if I know how they work. I ended up with Millicent about half a mile, I don't know, but away upstairs. So obviously, as the man says, you go way down into basements to get to Melania. And I left Millicent in a church or a drawing room or something in the same area. In the Hallig Tree. But anytime I went to speak with her, she was just like, oh, I've got something to give my sister. And I thought, oh, okay, cool. Then I'll go kill her. And then that's that. But apparently not. Brilliant. Cool. I don't know who I'm angrier at. Amos or the game for not making
bullshit. 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 Yeah.
Nonsense. Okay, you can go on.
Oh, thank you. I haven't lost my place at all. And draw your own conclusion. From meeting Michaela's empty form in Mog's domain to giving Millicent a prosthetic arm to allow her to return to being the warrior she was destined to be, I would hope we get more of Michaela, especially in the DLC, as I felt he was built up so well only to have no resolution.
I never met the bloke, so no resolution for me at all. No beginning, middle or end to that story.
And they just said they had a prosthetic leg.
Yeah, no. Melania has a prosthetic leg for some reason. I think I had a prosthetic arm at times for Millicent, but I never got the chance to give it to her. And it just sort of sat in my inventory. And I don't know who Michaela is, if he's I think Amos has implied some bloke. So I don't know.
Yeah, his empty form in Mog's domain.
Right. I don't know who that is.
Ringing the bell.
Nope. No idea. No.
Damn Amos. Be clearer in your correspondence. After that, it was pretty smooth sailing to the ending. Sir Gideon Offner from the Round Table Hold was barely a blip on my radar. And then Godfrey, the first Elden Lord, or Hora Lu, the warrior, made me realise...
Just to clarify who that is, I'm pretty sure Gideon Offner is... Sean Bean, so that's all right. I agree, wasn't too big. And
so that was the guy from the Super Friends Club?
Apparently so. This is what I've been told now. I'll have to take everyone's word for it, because I didn't know. And Godfrey, the first Elden Lord, that was the guy who ripped a lion off his own back halfway through, I'm pretty sure. So, cool.
Not losing my place at all. Which made me realise that the first Elden Lord and Nephilim Lu, who I had installed as the Lord of Limgrave after her quest finished back in Stormvale Castle, must have some connection. Not ringing any bells.
I actually did know that, so there. I did do the Stormvale thing, and you get her. She's someone you can summons as well, and she's helped me one of my very, very early fights. You'll have heard me talk about Nephilim Lu.
Nephilim Lu, I do recall.
Nephilim Lu, so she does become a big deal, and I remember seeing or piecing that together that she had the same name as one of the top brass there. So I was happy with that.
I would have been happy if you mentioned it during an episode.
Probably would have helped matters somewhat. Yeah.
No point flexing now. Which got my lower muscle tickled as to try and make out what the bond between them was. She announces herself to be a warrior in her last line of dialogue, using it as a title, as Hora also did. Another fun rabbit hole of lore for me to chew on. Fun.
I see.
Indeed. So, going through the final gate to meet our last boss, and we finally meet Radagon of the Golden Order.
We do? All right.
You mentioned the Golden Order earlier too.
I see. That's interesting.
Millennia and Makila. This must be the part where George R.R. Martin finally woke up and contributed to the story, as Radagon is the male form of Queen Marika the Eternal. She who shattered the Elden Ring.
Oh, okay. Yep. With you.
So, at one point, they were separate entities, as Marika took Godfrey, the first Elden Lord, as a husband. Their union led to Godwin, Morgott, and Mog.
Right.
Whereas Radagon went to war against Queen Rennala, and love bloomed on the battlefield, resulting in their marriage.
Mm-hmm.
This union sired Rickard, Radahn, and Rani.
Hey, I know her.
You do?
Yep.
So Radagon is basically your father-in-law at this stage.
But I'm not any of those people, am I?
Is Rani the...
She's my wee witch friend.
That you married.
Oh, I married her? Oh, I thought I just made her queen. And I was just sort of milling about going, hi, I'm here too. Right? I'm with him.
Guessing that's what the connection is.
I'm getting it now. Very good. Mm-hmm.
After defeating the last of his great enemies with no other opponents left to him, Godfrey lost the guidance of the Grace and became the first of the Tarnished, instead reverting to Horalu, chieftain and barbaric champion of the Tarnished, in the quest to become Elden Lord once again. Feels like you've already been over all this already, Filthy.
I'll give him this, he's right. It does sound as boring as Game of Thrones, so that's good. Yeah, fair enough.
You watch all that.
I did, yeah. And there's an awful lot of this sort of nonsense politics that frankly just muddies all the fighting and dragons. So much like, yeah, that's par for the course for old RR there, for old RRM, just getting in the way of the chaos. So yeah, fair enough. Okay.
There's more.
There
is. Now that Marika was without her Elden Lord, she recalled Radagon, who shunned Rinala, where we would find her rejected in the library during our playthrough.
That's Voldemort's sister. Ah, right, I'm with you now.
It all comes together.
Oh.
This is where it gets strange.
Oh, this is where it gets strange.
Marika and Radagon share a body but have separate wills. Marika being the one that shattered the Elden Ring and Radagon being the one who wants to repair it.
How cookie.
These two beings that are technically the same being also sired children.
Best not to think about that.
Given the spiritual incest, this would result in Millennia and Mikella. Millennia, of course, being cursed with scarlet rot and Mikella being cursed with living as a child for eternity.
Okay.
Peter Pan. Millennia considered him the most powerful of the gods, and once again, I hope this will be further explored in the upcoming DLC. So correct me anywhere I may have misstepped. I have only scratched the surface of the game story, and I will be combing through the game to find even more.
Yeah, I'm going to be the person to be able to correct this.
I do wonder if there was a little tip of a teaspoon of snark there. That's right, I finished the game pretty swiftly, the Elden Beast being more of a hassle than a challenge. Thankfully, I had picked up a talisman near the Mogwin Palace that negated a large portion of holy damage, which kept the damage taken down to a minimum. Just a long game of keep away stood in the way of credits.
Mm.
And you will like this bit, Filthy.
Go on.
I clocked in at 85 hours at level 151 on Sunday 9th October 2022 at 9:21.
I see.
And will continue to clean up a few corners of the map before moving on to the new game plus. A lackluster final boss, which will hopefully get remedied by some DLC in the near future. Thank you for helping me reach the decision to finally play this game for myself. Good luck in your own adventures, though given your last episode, I suspect you too have met the end credits. The fallen leaves tell a story of how a Tarnished became Elden Lord. Your friend, Amos Brearley.
Well, my goodness. Oh, there's a lot to unpack there. I would actually genuinely, I think...
You chat away, I'm going for a fucking smoke.
You don't even smoke anymore?
No, but fuck. A man has limits. I mean, thank you for writing in, Amos.
No, do you know what, though? In all seriousness, I feel that we owe it to people to explain what the hell's been going on, given that I've only been half-arsedly making shit up for this podcast and explaining the things I see. So it's really nice that somebody else actually had it there for us to explain what I've been talking about for 14 episodes.
Kind of ring true for you, or
I do remember the man in the Super Friends Club, who's staring at maps or something, and you can ask him about any of the big bosses. All the people he's named there are people that you fight, by the way, at some point or other, I'm pretty sure. So
so all these people are technically, because
they're all related.
Yeah, from the names, they are the dead person at the end of the game and the one you fight are
the parents
for all the bosses.
Yeah, apparently so. This bit about them being two sides of the same person, that's new to me. No idea. I was just aware from talking to that one man that these were all the villains and they all had opinions about how the tarnished Elden thing had played out. So,
what is a tarnished?
I don't know. I still don't know. I think it's someone whose parents are born out of wedlock, apparently, incestuously. I've no idea. I generally don't, just that I was one, didn't really. And am I related to any of these people? I don't know.
I don't know
where I started. Maybe I was a great-grandson of one of these people as well. I mean,
yeah, Amos, your feedback's great, but there wasn't even a fucking question for us to bounce on, so it feels like... Having a lot of worth out of that.
Having to make up my own questions. I think it raises more questions than it answers that. But mainly, what does George R.R. smoke in his afternoon pipe when he's coming up with this madness?
Just incest and dragons.
Incest and dragons. He loves it. Just can't get enough of it. I mean, I don't know if it's a spoiler and it's a completely off topic, but I mean, the incest in Game of Thrones is famous. House of the Dragon spinoff has just finished as well. Same thing. Couldn't wait to get the incest thrown into that one. It's
give the people
thing.
What they want.
Yeah, it's this whole thing, old Georgie boy. but yeah, there's a lot to unpack there. Very, very disappointed that, if I'm being honest, I think the real problem for Amos here is he didn't get value for money. I mean, I've got over 200 hours and a hit podcast out of this TV show, out of this game, for that matter. And yeah, he only got like less than half of the enjoyment that I did at 85 hours. So
it is times like this I'm genuinely sickened that I sent you emails before we record, because I could feel the heat after the Millennia 3 attempts.
I'm not sure I believe it. I've yet to have cause to doubt the man, let's face it. I don't know why he would lie to me, but that just doesn't seem human. I feel like he could have live streamed the entire game and just done that.
Could be an option going forward.
Yeah, we could just do his game plus one, live stream it. And,
talk over the top of it.
Yeah, figure out what to do with the rest of the hour. But, wow. Genuinely, that is actually something that's quite interesting. It's nice to know what the hell I've been doing with my free time. And now I do. So thank you for that. And all the best in your future endeavours.
Oh, I have a funny feeling he'll be back.
That sounds ominous.
Sweet John Cheatham from K-Botak thankfully kept it short and sweet for us.
Oh, good man, John.
Dear Punk and Filthy, and I think he's the only person to actually get it right the entire series.
He's got your back there. Love it.
Brilliant man. There must be 100 FromSoft podcasts out there. So for you two to come along in 2022 and make one of the best I've heard and easily the funniest one is quite something.
Oh,
especially considering one of you hasn't even played the game in discussion. I'll miss these dropping into my pod app. I'm relying on Punk trapping Filthy in a room with some basic rations and copies of the Dark Souls trilogy, Bloodborne, and Demon Souls, just so I can have my bit of precious entertainment of a Friday. Hell, maybe you could even play some of those shit Souls likes. Anyway, thanks for the great run of pods, lads. John.
Oh, I'm going to get emotional now. That's very kind.
I've been dreading this last episode.
Yeah, you promised you wouldn't cry.
Yes, John, outstanding human. We love you.
Cheers for that. And yeah, food for thought about what I do next.
We're really going to have to give this some thought.
Certainly sounds that way.
You actually have to work, it feels like it may be harder to do this.
Yeah, maybe I should just do like Streets of Rage again or something, or do episode. Could be each level of that.
The lore of Streets of Rage.
Well, you play one of three policemen, police people, because you've got Blaze there, and you beat up lots of people on the streets in a rage. Okay, there's not a great longevity on that, I've just realised. So, fair enough.
We will move on to our next bit of feedback from our favourite American listener, Skelly, from the Skeleton House podcast, who also wanted to congratulate you. Thank you, Filthy, for completing Elden Ring. It has shown me that even if you have no talent or skill, as long as you bash your head against something enough times and look up cheese online, you can accomplish anything.
That seems harsh. That was a little double-edged. I was all taken in there with the thanks, and then my minor history in cheesing comes up. I mean,
You even cheese your dog.
I literally cheesed my dog tonight, yeah, to be able to record this. And actually, it didn't even work, much like the cheeses that I tried on the game.
No, we got the cheese poops.
Yeah, that was it. That was the end of it. But yes, it's an accomplishment, whether you think so or not, Skelly. Thank you, probably.
Thanks for getting in touch, Skelly. Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. And thankfully, Gadget came in with some more feedback, and we even got pretty pictures to go along with this one.
Ah, love it.
Did the pictures display on your end?
Yes, I've got pictures on my end.
Good. Evening, fuckers. Well, we're here. The end of the road. Filthy's ring has been stung completely. Congratulations, Phil, for conquering your first FromSoft game. There's nothing quite like finishing your first FromSoft game. John Elden Ring, Mr. Miyazaki, crafts these complicated, intricate, and ultimately brutal playgrounds for us to conquer and bend to our will.
That seems like a stretch, given how I did in the game, but I appreciate the thought.
Filthy, stretchy ring. When Elden Ring came out, he gave an interview where someone asked him that tired and boring old question of difficulty modes for his games. He said that he reckoned Elden Ring would be the game that more people would finish. And here we are, with living proof that a complete newbie to the studio's output has managed to finish the game.
That's me. Finisher. And yet no badge.
Filthy finisher. Finger up the bum.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
How have you managed to bring a podcast with such a lofty title down to such low levels?
I don't think people got it yet. I have to remind them.
You have to drive the point home.
Like a finger up the I know Christopher has been taunting you about your playtime being over 200 hours, but ultimately it doesn't matter. The fact that you finished the game shows is achievement enough.
Thank you. It means a lot. Yep.
I am, however, glad you binned off the katanas for the true weapon of the game, the blasphemous blade. I'm very happy that you finally saw the error of your ways and got all heathenistic with the rest of us.
That's interesting. I binned off the katanas, and I'm not sure.
It sounded like you binned off the katanas for the blasphemous blade.
I definitely wouldn't say that at all. I liked the blasphemous blade.
I know you wouldn't
say
it, but it sounds like that's what happened. I wouldn't say I cheated on my wife and left her with the kids. But I did.
And ran into the jungle to do I'm a Celebrity. Oh, managed to get some politics into there. Phew. I was worried it wasn't going to be able to.
Subtle. And while we're all here, waiting for whatever ring sting happens next, I do have a challenge for you. There is a hidden boss in Crumbling Varamasula that you didn't find in your playthrough. Fuck you, Gadget. Placidusax is the ultimate in dragon fights. He's a hard bastard, but I do think that he might be the best dragon boss that FromSoft has ever done. Even just the introduction to his fight is epic in a way that only they can manage.
That's interesting. I seem to remember that Amos was able to beat it in a sneeze, you know? So maybe it's not that epic. Who knows? But I certainly won't be able to do that. Interesting, though. I have heard this name. I've seen it on things.
Yeah, I was going to say, a dragon left unkilled.
Yeah, and the main one as well. I don't like the sounds of that.
Yeah.
Might see what I can do. Or maybe some rainy Saturday I could fire up the old Xbox for old time's sakes, relearn all the controls.
Yeah, that's what I was going to bring up. I have to warn you, you get slightly out of practice with these games.
Yeah,
it's hard to get back in. You have to retrain.
I can only imagine.
Lastly, to commemorate the completion of your adventure in the Lands Between, please find attached the game maps I've been keeping up to date with the world's beating cartography skills Phil has been employing. Enjoy your rest, Tarnished. And yes, listener, I will have these out in social media if you fancy a nosy.
That's incredible. I'm just looking at them now. I had seen them. And yeah, that's all the places. That's what I called everything. That's amazing. That I have a renewed faith in myself and my descriptive skills because everything is what I said it was. And as far as I know, this is the official release of the map. It really is called Learn Your Lakes and Hogwarts. So...
It's there in black and white.
You can't make something like this up, you know. It's fact. So the Something River, Worcester Abbey, yeah, they're all there. This was
Sterling work, Gadget. Well done, and thank you. We also love you.
Thank you very much. Yeah, this is quite the thing. Might get it framed, printed out, get it framed for commemorative.
If only we knew some prick that had a frame a game service.
do we?
I do. You fucking don't.
You know everybody. You've got all the contacts.
And that is it for feedback.
That's it. That's wow. Culmination of my time in Middle Earth, or what did we decide it was called? The Lands Between,
as has been mentioned quite a few times. In listener correspondence that I have just finished reading out to you, Philip.
But the question is, the Lands Between what? And I don't know. There's a lot I don't know about this game. But I don't know what the lands are between.
What's a tarnished?
What is a tarnished? Will I Google it right now, or that just ruined things? That'll be... No.
Do you think that'd help?
I don't really think it would, to be fair. let's see. Just you've got to know, don't you?
Curiosity has got the better of us.
Tarnished. Noun. Lose or cause to lose luster, especially as a result of exposure to air or moisture. That doesn't help.
Did you just look up the definition of the word tarnished?
Yeah, pretty much. Make or become
without
less...
Without the context of being an Elden Ring.
Well, you say that, but...
Do you not know what fucking tarnished meant in the English language?
Listen, stick with me here. Definition, make or become less valuable or respected. Now, if there's one thing this podcast has done for me, it has made me less valuable and respected. So, I am pretty happy with my definition of tarnished.
Are you proud of your stingy ring?
I think it's a success, but
how do you measure success, really?
I know, in podcast episodes. I've a success of 14. That's interesting. So yeah, I'm happy to wear that badge. I have looked up the actual for the game as well, and I'm no further on, even within this description.
Yeah, I got that impression.
The tarnished are individuals who lost the grace of the Erd Tree and were consequently banished from the Lands Between by Queen Marika the Eternal. Now, we did find out who Queen Marika was. I don't quite remember. That was a whole 15 minutes ago. I don't understand how you can lose the grace of a tree. Is that like when the conkers fall off? I mean, now I know, I've lost the grace.
And have you ever come across any grace in the game?
Well, yeah, well, this is why that's really confusing. Your little rest points are called grace points.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't really mean much. You get to sit down beside the grace that you lost, and that's useful, I guess.
I feel like some of this may be over your head.
It's a very high level game, I think. It's not quite Tetris. Here, there's a load of funny shaped squares and we need them to go inside this rectangle. That's my level, really. I'm quite good on the lore of Crash Bandicoot now, if you're interested.
What happened to Crash's girlfriend?
She was kidnapped, wasn't she, in the first
episode?
She was
kidnapped. She also disappeared after that.
She did, didn't she? Yeah.
She did.
She just got written out. She got a job on Casualty, so they wrote her out of that one. Turned it down. Went to do a soap, you know, reliable income. It's good work. Honest work.
Well, with feedback out of the way, probably get to the questions we had at the start of the show.
Okay, let's see. Go full circle.
So, at this point in your adventure, the dust has settled, and you've had a little while to mentally digest your adventures in the lands between.
Yeah. I stand by Middle-earth. There's nothing wrong with Middle-earth. If it's in between, what's in between? Middle. So it's Middle-earth. That's just sloppy by old Georgie Martin there.
It feels like there's no point even asking this.
God.
Have you had a while to think about the ending anymore? Or is it still just shit?
I don't know what I want, really, because I suppose if it had been any more than 2.5 minutes long, I wouldn't have watched it anyway. but I just don't understand why you would do all of that just to allow someone else to be the winner, which is how I feel it went out. Rani, I mentioned that thing at the time she did with the moon, and she was all pleased with herself that she put the moon in the sky or something. I don't know. Maybe there's another ending I might have liked better. I don't know if anybody wants to recommend a different ending that's worth seeing.
It seemed like an awful lot of playing just to get a different ending.
Oh, no, don't get me wrong. I'll just look it up on YouTube. I'm not going to play it again. That would be madness. but, yeah, that's my take.
Yeah, because I haven't really heard many bad reports, but then again, I wasn't looking for people talking about the end of the game.
We never thought we were going to get to the end of the game, let's face it.
We made it further than I thought we would.
I know, and it was only the enthusiasm of our fans that kept me going. There were times when I didn't want to play this game anymore, but I thought, I can't admit defeat. We would have had to do a whole episode about me giving up and why I've given up. And
that'd be me talking to myself again. Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, you'd have probably done my voice for me, and
possibly
that would not have ended well for me and my reputation. So
I would have released the Mandela cut.
Yeah, pretty much. thankfully, it didn't come to that. We got there. We got there, guys. We did it. We finally did it.
And have you thought any more about dipping back into the game or doing like the new game mode?
I looked it up because I'm actually pleased they didn't jump straight into it, because I misunderstood initially what the new game mode was. For some reason, now that I think about it, this would be irrational, but for some reason I thought new game mode was very light and it just reanimated a load of the bosses and fights and things, but that apart from that, it's largely the same. But no, you lose the whole map again, is my understanding. You do have to play out the whole story again. It's just much quicker going without, obviously, because you're stronger.
Do you keep your equipment?
Yeah, you keep your level, although obviously everybody else is a wee bit harder. They've leveled up with you. You keep your weapons and everything in your pocket. But because that's an interesting thing, actually, about the game. I've heard people say, you know, like the Sombre Age and Dragon Smithing Stone, there's only so many of those in the game.
Yeah.
And even when you do a new game, I'm not sure how many more you get on top of that. So that all seems like an awful lot to have to think about. And I don't
definitely
really
sounds like you're better off picking one weapon and sticking with it then.
Yeah, that's very much I think what
which would be hard to know from starting the game. You don't know which one. Yeah.
Well, exactly. Therein lies
so many katanas,
so many to choose from,
that you and ignore.
Well, the joke of the matter is, whenever I finally got Melania's katana at the time, I think I mentioned, but you finally get the chicken stomp.
That's the one that finishes off your collection.
Yes, and you finally get her special move, the aqua chicken, and it's not as useful to you as it is to her. I have used it once or twice effectively on a few people, but because it has the slow setup, there's a lot of people would have you taken out before you would actually be able to use it on them. So that was
and they could beat you up in three turns.
Yes, essentially. but that's, yeah.
Oh, that grimace.
God help anybody that invades them, you know, with that mode. You're out to invade people. That won't go well. I wonder if anybody has. That's a thought.
Apart from that, is there any games tickling your fancy for like another series of this? Have you thought that far ahead?
I don't know enough about the Soulborne games to commit either way. I might do another one. As I mentioned, if I wanted to go guns or something, I do own Cyberpunk. I bought it when it came out and it was so glitchy. And I know it's pretty much working now, to my knowledge. I've never went back to it. You know, I could do that maybe. Or, yeah, something else with swords. I could try this famous Sekiro or Bloodborne or any of these other games that make me miserable.
I've got Sekiro on disc, so that'd work on your Xbox.
Lovely.
Bloodborne is PlayStation only.
I was thinking that when I went looking for it the other day, so that's news to me. Yeah.
So,
I think for my for the listeners' entertainment, I have to be miserable. That seems to be an important component of the show. So, yeah, probably have to be.
Well, we never really got it throughout the series, and people seemed happy enough.
I know. I just saw the drip feed it. We could Filthy's Elden Mental Breakdown. We could do that as a separate podcast.
Because I was looking at a few games that I would like you to play. Cyberpunk 2077 is on there.
Okay.
Disco Elysium.
I think my big problem with playing Disco Elysium would be, one, I've no idea what it is, and two, every time I went to play it, I would just be singing Disco Inferno, Disco Elysium the whole time. So that might actually prove the ending of me. Is it good?
It is one of the best games ever made.
Ah, but that's what they said about Elden Ring. Look at that. You know,
ball of shite that that is.
Only got 14 episodes out of it, and I had to get a special guest contributor to explain what the hell was going on. I mean,
Witcher 3.
I mean, it's a bit on the nose, that, isn't it?
See, this one surprises me because the Assassin's Creed games that you really click with, the Origins, is a real Witcher 3 ripoff.
See, I have heard this, but yeah. I guess, Hades. Is that not really short? Is Hades not like, is that the one where you're only allowed to die once?
Yeah.
And you think I could get a full podcast out of that?
Oh, I think you could. It's one of the better stories going across.
You think I'm going to pick up on the story? I have played the first level of that game. If you think I'm going to pick up on a story in that, I doubt it. I didn't see one.
There is Yakuza Like a Dragon.
You're a Yakuza man.
I am a massive Yakuza man. You the old games that play like Streets of Rage and you didn't like them.
I don't know if it's that I didn't like them. I don't remember. I did try one. I might like that. I do like a beat-em-up.
You walk about the streets, beating people up, ripping your shirt off when things get serious.
Is the map big?
No, it's all based in Kamurocho. So it's like the one place in all the games.
You see, here's an interesting point actually I wanted to make earlier about maps. Mm-hmm. People describe the map of Elden Ring as very daunting and being one of the things about the game. Oh, it's a massive map. To my mind, it's not. Like, just from what I'm used to, when I think of, if you do take like an Assassin's Creed, like the Egypt one, you've got 700 million different sync points that you have to climb up and capture. There's, as well, like on the eyes, you're looking at the map and you're freaking out because there's 300,000 side quests to be done. Like you couldn't walk around clearing the map as you go. With an Assassin's Creed, I always envisage doing that. And I think, I'm just going to clear the map as I go. And you realize you'd get literally nothing done. Yeah. Whereas Elden Ring, I mean, it's kind of a big map. Now that I've played the game, when I turned it back on and I think to myself, oh, I might just have a go doing something different, I run out of places to go. I think, oh, no, I've done there. Oh, I've been there. So I think it was a fair map. Also, things set in cities, just all these little streets, sometimes that's a little daunting. Like, so if Yakuza, is there lots of streets? Is there lots of cars? Things like that.
Not quite cars. There are streets, but it's quite well. It is based on a small map, but they get a lot out of it. It's quite unique. You actually get nostalgic for this place. You get to know it so well.
Okay.
Because every game's set in a different, I don't want to say they're 5 years apart each time, but Yakuza 0 is like the 80s.
Whereas
Yakuza Like a Dragon was set in our time frame.
Okay.
So it does go along at a pace. The other
one is
Halo Infinite, because it's getting its co-op campaign relatively soon.
I've never played a Halo. That will probably not surprise people. So that's an interesting thought.
Yeah, Infinite's like a reboot, and it is on Game Pass, so it's not going to cost you anything.
Well, there's a thought as well. Could take a little look. Yeah,
that was kind of the short list I had. Any thoughts for yourself?
You may have tickled me with Yakuza. I could maybe take a little look at that. It's the buy-in. Whenever you've bought into a game for as long as I have with Elden Ring, you know, starting in a whole new world is a scary prospect, you know. I've kind of got Stockholm Syndrome at this stage. Maybe I don't want to leave.
We should open the floor to the listeners if they have any ideas.
Yep, a couple of little... We could do a vote on Twitter or something. I think you're allowed to polls on there now, unless Elon Musk has started charging for that service in the last hour. He might well have done. We will take advice, but I think we could do another. I think we could do another podcast. Who knows?
You've got another one in you.
Might do. Might just well have a little
famous last words.
I know.
So yeah, I suppose we'll start winding down. If anybody does want to get in touch, I don't know when we'll be recording again. Filthy Ring on Twitter or filthyring@gmail.com. All links are in episode show notes, or you can visit shows.acast.com/PERS for all links and various hosting services. I'm going to miss doing that.
I know, you've just finally, you know, you've got a nice wee rhythm to it and everything, and no need now.
So, apart from all this, Amos has been in touch again.
Okay.
You've actually inspired him to start a podcast of his own, and I said I would play the teaser at the end of our episode.
What, for real?
Oh, yeah.
I am a human inspiration. This is amazing. Yeah.
You are an influencer.
Look what I have done. Oh, my days. Okay. Okay. Tales of the Tarnished. I see. So it's an Elden Ring podcast.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's going to be a bit more lore focused than ours, but...
Okay. Here I go. Ready?
Ready.
Dear Filthy, I thought I'd leave you a voice note this time to mark your final episode. It was difficult enough listening to your lackey struggle through previous correspondence in the earlier episodes, to be honest.
Some shit off
once
this
again,
man.
Congratulations on finishing the game. Truly an accomplishment for a first-time Souls player.
He's got the compliments. I like
now
him.
Now that you have the knowledge gained after Mixed completing bag. The game, do you realise how frustrating it was to hear you fail at every single obstacle? Your refusal to use shields, a little instrument to deflect attacks and protect you against sudden dangers.
Shields are for wimps, this is well documented.
You need to slaughter NPCs, Buck especially. Robbed you of really fleshing these characters out, it did, by following their quests. Championing the fantastic katana, just to trade it out for a weapon that required faith to really harness.
Is he trolling me? Is this what trolling feels like?
Your attitudes towards the community when they reached out to help, only to belittle them and then reveal you didn't wear armour against millennia and were dying in one hit for some reason.
I feel like I'm on a comedy roast.
You're able to make it to credit at all. What started out as amusement quickly turned to annoyance. To hear the story experience as a thrill and finally crafted into the world of Elden Ring.
I thought we had a friendship.
Get misinterpreted.
I've been annoying them the whole time.
Or simply ignored. Oh. It was infuriating. If it had one
didn't think we
lining,
had that effect.
You finally inspired me to get off my backside and organise my own series of podcasts.
Oh, it's going to be a podcast,
the finer
is it?
Details of this world.
Without a combining lackey, indeed. His words.
It's called the Pod Family, and we love them.
Landscape
yep. Support each other, filthy.
You see, like you, I've kept audio notes I've been playing through the game. Slightly more detailed and consistent, I think you'll find.
He doesn't really have audio notes.
I've attached the first little note to give you a taster.
This is mad.
So please, let everyone who was disappointed in your lack of knowledge, they can get their fill in Amos Braley's Tales of the Tarnished, which will begin uploading very shortly.
Jerry Beadle doesn't do his wee thing anymore, does he? Have I been punked? Is Beadle about?
Deadbeat punked. Yeah, I like that.
There you go. Ant and Deck. You know, they do that thing, don't they? They're
drink driving.
Yeah, that's the one.
Hello and welcome to the first Tales of the Tarnished. Amos Braley reporting in after finishing up my first day on Elden Ring, which I think has an incredibly promising start. I've decided to go with the Confessor class. So after designing the character, choosing the voice they'll be using throughout the adventure, I decided to call her Samara.
Just know your editing skills, though. He's got a cough there.
You need to cut them out.
Yeah.
Ooh. Huh. That's better. So what was I saying? Yes.
You Samara, fucking dick.
I named my character after the Irish for Bloodsucker. Bloodsucker because I was hoping to be a faith-based character.
What the fuck?
They can become quite the vampire, depending on how you build them. Not just a faith-based character. A faith-based character with a shield.
This shield
will be the most important component to this character, given somebody's reluctance to use one.
I'm so confused.
I am having trouble with the parry system. But I guess when learning to parry, it just takes time.
I don't understand what's going on.
I picked the name Amos as a little
reference. Pretty straightforward.
We talked about the Wool Pack in the episode Wolf Pack. And Amos Brearley was the original landlord of the Wool Pack. I know. What a reference. I've just finished the first email. I have eaten the Erdtree Burial Watchdog that looked like a big watch cat.
This isn't real.
You know where I am. I'm at the Groveside Cave.
Amos rarely isn't real now.
Weary listener, until we meet again, remember, confessors are better than samurai.
If you are satisfied with your message, press 1.
You're lying. This isn't... That's done. That's
check your WhatsApp there.
What? I'm so confused. You've been... Chris... Have you finished the game in 86 hours?
Yeah. I was Amos, writing in the whole time.
You weren't. The whole time...
I have been running on 4 hours sleep for quite a while.
How the fuck?
Yeah.
And you've been putting up with me for 14 episodes talking absolute nonsense about...
Oh, yeah. I haven't corrected you once.
Have you known what I've been talking about the whole time? This is but no.
Yes.
Even did a Sean Bean impression in your little note there. Like, I mean, you've linked this. This is some Darren Brown level shit. This is.
I have been putting that one together for a while. Yeah.
What the? To use your phrase, what the actual?
You suspected all along.
Oh, I was definitely onto it. I've been feeling bad. You've been being rude to this guy on the episodes, and I've been trying to pull it back the whole time, being like, "Oh no, it's nice that he's written in."
It was that time I made the joke about him being on the spectrum, and you told me off.
Well, I wasn't. You weren't fucking wrong. Jesus. Right, that's...
Yeah, it even... For the listeners, I'm holding up the PlayStation 5 copy of Elden Ring, which was the day one launch edition, which comes with stickers.
You've had the day one launch edition?
Oh no, it went cheap. A lot of people bought this game and then wanted rid of it.
Oh, funny that. Can't imagine why.
Yeah.
Those are nice
stickers.
You know
what the funny thing was? Do you know episode 13? Last one that went up. The cover art's my character.
You're lying.
Oh, straight up.
This is...
With the Millennia helmet?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was mine. And the Blaith cape.
Wait. Sorry, I need to come up. You didn't really beat Millennia in 3 goes, did you?
Oh, I did, yeah.
You fucking... No.
Oh, straight up.
No.
As I said, I was geared up because I was playing it Sunday. And Ming herself were due to go out.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, I'll not get this started. Millennia's going to be a knuckle down and get this finished job.
Yeah.
So I saved it until later and I was like, yeah, I've got a couple of hours to myself now. So I'll buckle in, get this done.
I think was the phrase you used, yeah.
Third time down.
And you've been criticising your own writing in. This is...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I forgot that you're used to operating as 3 different people, but this is absolutely terrifying. I'll never look at you the same again now. That's absolutely horrible.
You think you know a person. So, do you want to chat about Elden Ring?
So tell me all about the lore then. What's a tarnished?
A tarnished is somebody that's lost the will of the grace. The grace points are leading you back to the grace. That's why they're all leading you to the tree or your next obstacle on the way to the tree.
Yeah.
So...
Right? Sorry, I'm still stunned. I'm not going to be much more use here. You've broken my brain.
Right, tune in for the next episode of Amos's Ring Stings.
That was fucking...
I was actually keeping audio notes throughout the first day. I had the G-Track Pro set up in the living room.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I didn't have many of them.
That's, yeah, we'll see. That's a skill in itself, I think you'll agree. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. And I like how you even managed to, yeah, start the game late enough in my playing that you'd finish at the same time as me because you know how bad I am at it.
I was fucking raging that you skipped a load of optional bosses and just finished it because I was on my way to fight Mog.
See, I think I didn't intentionally skip Mog because I'd fought a second person called Mog, but I didn't.
Yeah, there's one in the sewers and then there's Mog himself.
Right.
Kind of like the first Elden Lord. You fight the golden version of him at one point and then you fight him.
Remember that, yes.
So yeah, there's like two Mogs in that scenario.
I see. Okay. And you're really looking forward to some grown child called Markella in the DLC, are you there?
I am, yeah. I'm surprised you missed out and all that.
That's... okay.
Because Mog took the body after you beat Mog at his temple. You can see Markella's form that's in, like, it's similar to Millennia's flower, but his arms coming out of it.
Oh, I know what you mean now. I did see that one.
Because he was the Halig tree. The Halig tree grew around him and Mog stole him away from the base of it, and that's why it's fallen apart and in disrepair.
That's fascinating. I feel almost like a little death, like I've lost somebody, like a bereavement, because I thought Amos was some real bloke who liked listening to me talk, and it's been
you. You thought your show had a fan.
You've been trolling me this whole time.
Yeah, Debbie punked.
That's... Jesus. That's... On that bombshell, I'm stunned. that is a long con. So you've done a 12-week con. Amos has been writing in for about 12. Well, certainly with 6 weeks, isn't it? It's been a while.
I was going to say, I will just pull up the Filthy Ring email here, which makes for great radio. I do apologise. Alex Long, have you claimed your podcast yet? Fuck off. Because I thought the name I picked may have given it away, but...
No, as if I'd never watched Emmerdale. I have no idea.
Five emails.
Five or 6 weeks you've been doing this to me.
Mm.
That's not normal, mate. That's I'm horrified.
I say I was running on like 4 hours sleep. I think that's why I was stumbling so badly with words in some episodes.
Well,
because it was just running on fucking steam.
Did you enjoy the game?
Yeah, it was all right.
And genuinely, Blasphemous Blade was the one for you, was it?
Yeah, but I was going faith build anyway.
Yes.
Because
okay.
I wanted to use more incantations, but I never really did in the end up.
Yeah, they never picked up for me.
There's one, it's a lightning spear one, I think that's the name, but it's like a really long range one.
Yes.
For
yes.
Faith, it was fantastic.
Okay.
Because it had no bows or anything to speak of.
I'll take your word for it.
The black flame, it did damage.
Yeah.
Good against the tree spirits.
That's cool. Good to know. The dog is literally crying because of
I made your dog cry.
How much pain I'm in now. So thank you for that.
Yeah, and for all the achievements, I think I've only the endings to do, and then there's ones for like collecting legendary gear.
Okay.
There's one weapon I think I locked myself out of.
Right. This is fascinating, by the way, but also horrifying. this is, I'm completely stumped.
Yeah, you seem it.
I can't continue. We might have to do another episode where you explain the game to me. That could be a thing.
Amos's Ring Stings. Rings.
It's what he wanted from the start, you know? That
he wanted his own show, and by fuck, he got it.
He got it. My God. Well, thank you for that, I think. I'm gonna go sit in a corner and contemplate everything I've ever known. And question my whole life now. That's been real.
Mm-hmm. Ever feel like you've developed trust issues?
Well, I have now. Oh, okay. I'm done. That's it. Mic drop. That's it. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I was expecting more, but yeah.
I'm so confused. This is just mental. I don't know what's annoyed me more now, the fact that it's you the whole time or that you were actually that good at the game that I've been suffering through for this length of time.
Yeah, sickening, isn't it?
That's just what you'd notice.
I used a fucking shield.
Betrayal after betrayal. This is just not acceptable.
I think that may have been the difference.
Yeah, just... If I've learned one thing today, well, okay, I've learned a few things now, but yeah, maybe use a shield and never trust you, essentially. Oh, unbelievable. That's, yeah, I can't wait to hear what our listeners think.
Oh, yes, please do write in and let us know.
Please do write in at itwasamosallalong@gmail.com.
Well, any closing thoughts? Because I don't think I'm getting much out of you.
That's me. That's what a fun game. What a fun way to spend 200 hours. And screw you in your, what was it again? 85 hours. Screw you.
With many more bosses than you fought.
Up yours.
And a lot of collectibles. And much more of the map explored. And so much of the lore captured.
That's now up yours. That's oh. This is the end. Oh, forget it.
Never speaking again. This is what happens when you ignore me.
Well, congratulations to you, I think, is the final thing I need to say. I have been bested at my own podcast. So, yeah.
But you're real glad you asked to get this started now.
I know, yep. That's,
I'll ask that prick. He'll keep me right.
He'll keep me right. It's so funny. He never paid it.
Oh, but sure, you're playing my copy.
It was the perfect ruse.
I know. It did give me a fucking excuse to plug the PlayStation 5 in this year, so.
There you go. Something to watch.
So, yes, on that note, because I do feel that we are done here. Until next time, weary traveller, we live, we learn.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Hello once again, weary traveller. It is I, Christopher Love, or the Deadbeat Punk, in the editing room. As I didn't mention it during the recording, I have to thank G-Town Steve for lending me his beautiful voice, for being Amos Brearley. But I'm afraid I made a bit of a goof. I had asked somebody else to do it, and due to my lousy timekeeping, they had sent their audio file after we had recorded, because I forgot to tell them when we were recording. So I just wanted to give a few thank yous and play that note as a little bonus. The lovely artwork you see, that is Dean, that F King guy, who draws a beautiful shield. Gadget 8-Bit, as always, needs to be thanked. He is the man that taught me how to edit. So if you think this sound nice, let him know. He deserves all the credit. You can find him over at Modern Escapism or Do Dragons Dream of Scorched Sheep. And yes, I have to give G-Town Steve another thank you. He makes an excellent Amos. I'm sure you agree. The last thank you is the next voice you're going to hear. Dr. James Boomstick Farley, a personal podcast hero and a member of TCGS. You can be found over at tcgs.co. And yes, of course, what is a show without its listeners? Thank you for listening, and hopefully once Filthy has got over the shock of this, we might be back for another series. But until next time, I will leave you in the very capable hands of Dr. Boomstick.
Hello, and welcome to the first Tales of the Tarnished. Amos Brearley reporting in after finishing up my first day Elden Ring, which I think has an incredibly promising start. I have decided to go with Confessor class, so after designing the character and choosing the voice they'll be using throughout the adventure, I decided to call her Sumir.
You may hang up or press 1 for more options.
It's bullshit. 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 I don't know who I'm angry at.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.